And as we see in Scripture, God is a patient God. He is a God who is patiently allowing sin to go on so that people would not be judged but saved. But there is a day when His patience runs out. For each individual, that day is the day they die.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today your message gives us a lot of review of the past several broadcasts.
Yes, it does, Dave. But after that review, we're going to begin to see what happens when God's heart is broken. Well, let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 6, and we're beginning in verse 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, I asked this question last week, have you ever lost patience? And we all smiled and understood that. We as human beings have a limited amount of patience. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we do gain His patience when we abide in His Spirit. Indeed, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And as we see in Scripture, God is a patient God. He is a God who is patiently allowing sin to go on so that people would not be judged but saved. But there is a day when His patience runs out. For each individual, that day is the day they die. If you die in your sins, it is appointed once for man to die and then the judgment. And then for the world as a whole, His patience will run out when Christ comes in glory to take back what is His. Now, we've been studying the book of Ezekiel, and we've seen very clearly that judgment is going to come upon God's people. And we heard earlier in Jeremiah 23, the false prophets were saying, no, it's not going to happen, but it certainly will happen. And we're going to see today that the end is near for these Jews. And we're going to see within that what it looks like when God's heart is broken. You know, I don't think we see our God rightly at times. Yes, He is the supreme God. He is the one and only. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And we know our God is revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't see Him at times in His personhood. We don't see Him as someone who would grieve and have a broken heart. We're going to see that today, that the sin of His people breaks His heart. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 6. Now, we've been studying the book of Ezekiel, and very clearly, as I've mentioned throughout our study, that in Deuteronomy 28, as the Israelites are on the plains of Moab, ready to enter the land, Moses sharing the law the second time, inspired by the Spirit, Deuteronomos, he shares in Deuteronomy 28 that if Israel would obey in the covenant they had made with him, they would be blessed. And if they disobeyed, they would be cursed. And the curses are very clear and very distinct and very delineated in Deuteronomy 28, that they would be severely disciplined and judged and expelled from the land if they did not serve the Lord God with joy and gladness for what He had done for them. They did not obey His word, they would be expelled violently, and we see that. Now, the prophets continued to warn year after year that God was not pleased with Israel, that God was not pleased with them, and certainly in 722 B.C., the northern kingdom went into captivity with the Assyrians. And then in 605 B.C., we see that Babylon came and sieged Jerusalem, and the first set of captives were taken. That includes Daniel and his friends. Now, in 597, Jerusalem was sieged again by Babylon, and 10,000 Jews were taken captive. This included Ezekiel. And then 5 years later, we noticed in chapter 1, that was when Ezekiel began his ministry at the age of 30. Then after that, in 588 to 586 BC, there was an 18-month siege of Jerusalem, a brutal, gruesome ordeal, which we're looking at part of that today, we'll see, predicted. And that siege ended with Jerusalem being destroyed, the temple and city walls destroyed, and the final exile to Babylon with many being slaughtered. Three deportations, with the third and final one centered around this third and final siege. Now, the book of Ezekiel is centered around this siege also, this 18-month siege. The first 24 chapters are oracles leading up to the siege. And 25 through 32 are oracles during that siege, or prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then 33 through 48 are prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. And so Ezekiel is in Babylon. He is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are about to be judged by God in an awful siege in which many would be killed and those who remain would be brutally taken captive to Babylon also. Yet the Jews were in grievous sin. They were still in their idolatry, as we'll see today. And the false prophets were saying, God is not going to bring calamity on you, as we read in Jeremiah earlier. False prophets were saying, peace and safety. And they were evidently listening to these horrible voices of false assurance. And so Ezekiel is in the land of Chaldea. He is in Babylon as an exile. And we saw in chapter 1 that vision that he had on the river Shebar. God coming in the clouds, the one on the throne, with a great storm coming from the north, with lightning and flashing. And Ezekiel saw visions of God. We see that chapter 1. And we saw the angels, the cherubim with the wheels, performing God's will at his command perfectly and without deviation. And we saw the expanse, and then above the expanse, a throne and a one on the throne as of the appearance of a man. And the glory around was like a rainbow, I mentioned, symbolizing God's faithfulness even in the midst of judgment. And Ezekiel, at the end, falls down on his face to worship. And we see that. And then in chapter 2, the Lord lifts him up and begins to commission him and brings him to where he wants him to be. And we saw that commissioning had to do with three elements. Listening to God's word. You got to hear God's word. And secondly, going where he sends you to go and then speaking to whom he tells you to speak to. And for Ezekiel, it would be to those exiles in his midst, not to a foreign people of a foreign tongue, but to those who are in his midst. And he was also told that they would not listen. And he was strengthened by the Lord. The Lord said he would make his faces there, face and forehead like flint. Then Ezekiel was brought among the exiles, and he was there for 7 days, causing consternation among them. Then the word of the Lord came to him again, and we see he was appointed a watchman. He was appointed a watchman, and the Lord said he was to warn for the Lord. He is to warn the wicked and the righteous who stray. And if he doesn't warn them, their blood is on his hands. But if he does, if they don't respond, their blood is on themselves. They will die in their sins. And then we saw that he was commanded to go to the valley, and he obeyed the Lord, and the glory of the Lord was in the valley standing there. And Ezekiel was caught up again by the Spirit of the Lord, who told him to shut himself up in his house, and that he would be made dumb and only be able to speak the Lord's word when he opened his mouth. Boy, isn't that the way preachers should be, right? Just speaking God's word when they open their mouths. Now at this point, leaving chapter 3, we move into the first portion of the warning through Ezekiel to those exiles. And that was what we saw last week, the signs of judgment. In chapters 4 and 5, we saw the siege sign, we saw the bed of iniquity, we saw the diet of famine and the sword of wrath. All these signs pointed to the fact that judgment upon Jerusalem and Judah was inevitable. And from there, this brings us to what we'll see today, where I believe we're going to see the end is here and what happens when God's heart is broken and his patience wears out. Ezekiel chapter 6. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them and say, Mountains of Israel, listen to the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the ravines, and the valleys. Behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I will destroy your high places. So your altars will become desolate, and your incense altars will be smashed. And I shall make your slain fall in front of your idols. And I shall also lay the dead bodies of the sons of Israel in front of their idols. And I shall scatter your bones around your altars. In all your dwellings, cities will become waste, and the high places will become desolate, that your altars may become waste and desolate, your idols may be broken and brought to an end. Your incense altars may be cut down and your works may be blotted out. And the slain will fall among you, and you will know that I am the Lord. However, I shall leave a remnant, for you will have those who will escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered among the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations to which they will be carried captive, how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me, and by their eyes, which played the harlot after their idols. And they will loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils which they have committed, for all their abominations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would inflict this disaster on them. Thus says the Lord God, clap your hands, stamp your foot, and say, alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, which will fall by sword, famine, and plague. He who is far off will die by the plague, and he who is near will fall by the sword, and he who remains and is besieged will die by the famine. Thus I shall spend my wrath on them. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when their slain are among their idols and around their altars and on every high hill and on all the tops of the mountains, under every green tree and under every leafy oak, the places where they offered soothing aroma to all their idols. So throughout all their habitations, I shall stretch out my hand against them and make the land more desolate and a waste than the wilderness towards Diblah. Thus they will know that I am the Lord. Wow, that's intense. So today we're going to see for the house of Israel, the end is near. We're going to see what happens when God's heart is broken and his patience wears out. Notice the first thing we're going to see is the reason for his wrath, which is the fact of Israel's idolatry that's going to bring wrath upon them. Look at first of all the prophecy to the mountains, verse 1 again. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say to the mountains, listen to the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the ravines, the valleys, behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I will destroy your high places. Do you remember in chapter 3 that God would shut Ezekiel's mouth? It would be for almost 8 years that he would only be able to speak the word of the Lord. And now our text says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Now, why is Ezekiel to be facing the mountains of Israel and prophesying against them? Well, it's apparent that Ezekiel is at the river Shebar in Babylon, and evidently in that area, it's a plain area, and the next mountains you would see if you were looking southbound would be the mountains that border Israel, the mountains of Israel. And he is to face that direction, and he is to prophesy against the mountains. So why is he to prophesy against the mountains? Well, the mountains were the centers of idolatrous worship. You know, there's a psalm that goes, I will look to the hills from whence my help come from. That's not from the hills. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now here in the mountains, this was the center of their idolatrous worship. And they represented Israel's apostasy and abominations. Notice in the middle of verse 3, thus says the Lord God, to the mountains, to the hills, ravines, and valleys. These were the centers of their worship, hills, ravines, valleys, mountains. Israel was overcome with idolatry. Ezekiel was to prophesy against the area, the mountains, which Israel had committed its idolatry and adultery. And thus, God, by prophesying against the mountains, he is prophesying against those who are committing those idolatrous acts in those places. Indeed, he says in the end of verse 3, behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I will destroy your high places. It's about the people and their idolatry, but the mountains are where they're doing it. It's their idolatrous places. God is going to bring a sword himself. And notice we have in chapter 7, verse 7, you don't need to go there, but he's going to bring a sword on the inhabitants of the land. Okay? So why would God do this? Well, we have the answer in a statement, I will destroy your high places. His judgment is directly related to their idolatry. And again, what were their high places? From our text alone, in verses 4 to 6, we see there were altars, idols, and incense altars associated with the high places. Indeed, these places were places of pagan worship, which included sacrifice, prayer, burning of incense, evil, abominable acts of prostitution, and even child sacrifice. Typically, the high places were on mountain hills. Typically, they had an altar for an offering of sacrifices. They had a wooden pole to represent the female goddess of fertility named Asherah, and stone pillars to represent the male deity Baal, and with smaller incense offering areas, with a tent to eat the sacrifice meal and practice abominations. This was a party hill for them. It was a horrible, evil, adulterous place. Now, before Israel came into the land, God commanded them to completely destroy the high places. Look at a few passages. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 33. I'm going to go to verse 51. Numbers 33, 51. God was really clear to them that they needed to get rid of this stuff. They needed to destroy it and wipe it out. Numbers 33, verse 51. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land before you and destroy all their figured stones and destroy all their molten images and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land and live in it, for I have given the land to you to possess. And then look down at verse 55. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall become about that those whom you let remain of them will become pricks in your eyes and as thorns in your side, and they shall trouble you in the land in which you live. And it shall come about that as I plan to do to them, so I will do to you. Turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. I want to go to verse 11. Exodus 34, 11. Be sure to observe what I am commanding you this day. Behold, I am going to drive out the Amorite before you, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land in which you're going, lest it become a snare in your midst. Verse 13 in Exodus 34. But rather you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their ashram, for you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and someone invites you to eat of his sacrifice, and you take some of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and cause your sons also to play the harlot with their gods, you shall make for yourself no molten gods. They were to tear stuff down. Otherwise, they would be influenced by them. Turn to Deuteronomy 12. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall carefully observe in the land of which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispose serve their gods. On the high mountains, on the hills, and under every green tree, you shall tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, and burn their ashram with fire. And you shall cut down and the engraved images of their gods, and you shall obliterate their name from that place. You shall not act like this towards the Lord your God. Pretty clear. It was clear that Israel was to tear these things down and destroy them, to obliterate them. But yet, it's clear that they didn't do so. It's clear that they allowed them to stay, and they became a snare to them. They became as thorns in their side and pricks in their eyes. It became a snare to them. Now, what's interesting about Israel was that they didn't just wholeheartedly throw the Lord out and take on their idols. They combined it. They would say that they followed Yahweh the Lord, but they would do their idolatry also. And what's this called? Syncretism. It's when you combine the truth of God with man-centered false religion. The result is you get a twisted, abominable faith, adulterous faith, which is ultimately idolatry. And what's idolatry? It's simply the worship and trust in anything other than God Is the worshipment trust in an idol or a misrepresentation of the living God? And folks, we have a great problem of idolatry these days in the contemporary evangelical church. The truth of God has been sacrificed at the altar of relevance. In order to make God more relevant, scripture and preaching are put on the back burner, and the felt needs of those worldly parishioners is put in the forefront. You see it with the music, you see it with the lights, you see it with the show, you see it with a verse here and there. But this is nothing more than idolatry, making a God in your own image and connecting it with the true God. It's the same thing, it's syncretism. Now, is there any area in your life that you're guilty of idolatry, where you've made a God in your own image to fit your needs? John would say, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Is there anything you trust in? Maybe it's experience that you trust in that gives you your faith, that boosts your faith, whatever it might be. Maybe it's whatever it might be. Is there anything you trust in other than the Lord God? We walk by faith and not by sight. Little children, guard yourself from idols. Is there any place where your faith is mixed with worldly religious things? If so, it's idolatry and you need to repent, because God is a jealous God. So then, what is God going to do to idolatrous Israel? Back in our passage, middle of verse 3, chapter 6 of Ezekiel. Behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I, notice the I, sir, will destroy your high places, so your altars will become desolate, and your incense altars will be smashed, and I shall make your slain fall in front of your idols. I shall also lay the dead bodies of the sons of Israel in front of their idols, and I shall scatter your bones around your altars. In all your dwellings, cities will become waste, and the high places will be desolate, that your altars may become waste and desolate, your idols may be broken and brought to an end, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be blotted out, and the slain will fall among you. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The reality is, you serve idols, God will bring about your judgment, as we'll say. You see, God had made a covenant with his people that they were to utterly destroy and drive out the inhabitants, or they would be a snare to them. And now notice, God is judging this completely idolatrous land, and it is he who is doing it. Middle of 3, behold, I myself. End of 3, and I will destroy. Middle of 4, and I shall. Verse 5, and I shall also. Middle of 5, and I shall. God is saying, I'm doing this. I take full credit for it. So then, Ezekiel is to face the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Thus says the Lord, middle of 3, to the mountains and the hills and the ravines and the valleys. And notice God wants them to pay attention. Behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I will destroy your high places. Here's an overview statement. I'm going to bring the sword. I'm going to destroy your high places. And again, those high places were the places of their idolatrous worship. And look at the result. Verse 4. So your altars will become desolate, and your incense altars will be smashed.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, we've just scratched the surface of these verses. What should we be looking forward to?
Yes, Dave, you're correct. But what we're going to see next time is that this
idolatry in the nation of Israel, supposedly God's people, broke the heart of God. And yet God is a gracious God who reached out to them over and over again, but they would not respond. Well, we're not done with this passage yet, so make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.